Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
All right, we're going to get into this book today, the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God. No other book is able to save you. No other book is able to change you. No other book. This is not a self-help book. This is a God-help book. This isn't just some little goosebump, 3 points in a poem and a little encouragement. This is the Word of life. This is a love letter from heaven to earth. This is Jesus in print. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. You can't love Jesus if you don't love His Word. In fact, you can only love Jesus to the extent you love His Word. You say, well, I don't understand it, Pastor. Well, come hang with us. That's why you're here. And we'll help you to love this Word and to understand what it means. It's not just a bunch of therefores and thou onlys and all this King James English. It's a practical, life-giving, life-changing, life-affirming Word, and it changes us. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. At the beginning of it, we begin a brand new series this month called Badges of Honor. Badges of Honor. We'll explain that as we go. Super important. This may be one of the most important messages, one of the most important themes of the entire year this year, this month, and we'll tell you why. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul, the apostle, gives this warning. He says, but know this, in the last days, perilous or dangerous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, greedy, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and from such people turn away. I say it this way, the signs of the times is when you see the ungeneration rising. Unholy, unloving, unthankful, unforgiving, un. 2 Peter chapter 2 doubles down on this warning, and Peter writes, and especially be aware of those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and watch this, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to even speak evil of dignitaries. I call this the Rodney Dangerfield verse of Scripture. I don't get no respect. Three people know Rodney Dangerfield. Okay. Anyway, look him up. Good comedian. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 from the Amplified. I'm going to weave this in, and we're going to get off and run to preach the Word of God to you. The Amplified Bible says in Romans 13, 7, render to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Now, let me just say this. If it were me, I would love to rip that verse right out. I'd love to rip that verse out. Pay taxes where taxes are due. Wouldn't that be great if you could just kind of pick and choose cafeteria-style Christianity? I don't want to pay taxes. You don't want to pay taxes. But anyway, but somebody's got to do it. Listen, don't mess with taxes. And no, that's Texas. Sorry. Anyway. Okay, come on, help me. You need to listen better. Anyway, pay taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due. Watch this, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. God says, give honor where honor is due. Let's pray one more time. God, open the eyes of our heart today. Give us understanding, whether in the room or whether at home. Wherever we are, God, open the eyes of our heart with revelation knowledge that we can grab a hold of this truth and make a difference in the people and the world around us. And Lord, we trust in you to bring your word and truth in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I've been saying for the last year or so, prophetically I believe, that we live in an honor deficient generation. An honor deficient generation. We don't understand honor the way our nation did even 80 years ago, 90 years ago. We live in an honor deficient generation. I feel like I had this thought, that we've become anemic in honor and toxic in dishonor. So thankful to have grown up here in Florida. Anybody grow up here in Florida? How many were actually, I'll just ask you, I didn't do it first service. How many of you are actually born in Florida? You're actually born in the state of Florida. Isn't that good? Look at that. Only about a third or a fourth. That's amazing. Where did the rest of y'all come from? I'm glad you're here. But anyway, I was born. I don't tell many people. I don't brag about it, but I was born in New Jersey, one of the most disrespected states and highest tax states in the nation. And my family got we were delivered from New Jersey. I still have family up there. I still have family up there. I love some of the food up there. Great food. I love some of the stuff where I was born. But we moved here when I was 6 years old. My dad helped to found what was called back then a junior college, now State College, Seminole State College in Sanford. My dad was one of the founding people who came the second year of the school and helped found the fine arts division and the music department there. And so at 6 years old, when we moved down, I was blown away. I had culture shock right away, but not for the things you would maybe think. I couldn't believe at 6 years old how friendly people were in Florida. They were just friendly, just people like perfect strangers. There was a lady in Sanford Plaza had one department store was called JCPenney's. And JCPenney, the lady that was, we were buying something one time, and we were just there maybe a week. And this lady she, how y'all doing? Good to see y'all. Glad you're here. And she acted like we were like old friends. It was like, we were in culture shock. They don't do that in New Jersey. I mean, they may do that today, but they didn't do it back then. Anyway, even the New Jerseyites are saying, no, they're not doing that in New Jersey. Anyway, but the reality is a lot of times we forget the friendliness of the people. That can make such a difference. And the kids, even in my neighborhood, they were, you know, well, the being barefoot all the time kind of bothered me, but that was a different thing. We didn't go barefoot like they did in the South. In the North, we wore shoes. But anyway, around the neighborhood where I grew up, they didn't wear a lot of shoes. And I felt like I just arrived at Little Abner's house or something. You know, nobody knows that reference either. But anyway, but the kids that I was around, they all, when they answered their parents or elders, they said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. And I was like, I'd never heard that before. That kind of freaked my brain. And then my parents kind of grabbed that. My family is very, they were very courteous and very respectful and still are. But one of the things that in our family, like we didn't call older people by their first name. Like even if my parents called them by their first name, we called them Mr. or Ms. You know, Mr. This or Miss That. And then, the reality was, if you got into the family and if you became a close friend, you moved from Mr. or Miss so-and-so to Aunt and Uncle so-and-so. And that was a sign you really came. In my family, My grandchildren even do that today. They call different people their aunt, their uncle, whatever. I mean, to us in our family, PL is called Unc. He's been Unc since our grandchildren, and they've known him since they were born. And they call him Unc. He's part of the family. He's Unc. So there was a thing where you would just call somebody aunt, uncle. Did anybody ever do that? I mean, it was a sign of respect. We never called teachers by their first name. Never, ever called parents by their first name. And yet I hear it now today. And we don't understand certain basics about honor. And it makes me wonder, do good manners still matter? That kind of training at home overflowed in those days into every aspect of public life. Schools, courthouses, workplaces. Something such as common courtesy was actually common courtesy. It overflowed into civil discourse, how we spoke to each other. Then certain dark forces over the last 60 years systematically began undermining and dismantling our honorable society through many various ways, but especially through the court system, twisting the concept of freedom of religion to freedom from religion, and thereby seeking to remove the mention of God from our culture. And the first thing you need to know as we talk about honor this month is true honor always starts at the top. Honor the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Prime, premier, first, first in time, first in order, first in importance, first of mention, first, first, first. Honor the Lord. Everybody say honor the Lord. Honor the Lord first. There's a great promise in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, where God says, those who honor me, I will honor. God says, if you honor me, I'm going to honor you. That's pretty astounding. In Mark the 6th chapter, the Bible says that Jesus went to preach in his own hometown, and the people were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with such power and such authority. And yet, when as we see the story unfold, they began to murmur among themselves. In the middle of Jesus trying to help people, they began to have conversations about their familiarity with him. They said, verse 3, Mark 6, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and Theodore? And aren't... Snuck in Theodore. Snuck in Theodore, see if you were paying attention. I didn't say Alvin. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Watch this. Jesus is there preaching the word, moving to help them, and they get offended with him. And watch what Jesus says, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now, verse 5 says, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Thank God, even on a bad day, Jesus healed the sick. Yes. My friends, failure to give Jesus proper honor limits the flow of his power. It doesn't say Jesus would not heal them or would not do miracles. It said he could not do mighty works there because of the way they did or did not receive him. They were offended. The offended heart can never receive the fullness of what God wants to do. If you're an easily offended person, if you live with your heart on your sleeve, and you're constantly, listen, it is impossible in this world to be around other humans and not have somebody step on your toes or say something that rubs you the wrong way. It's impossible. It's how you handle it that counts. Jesus is perfect. And in his perfection, he's there trying to minister to his hometown, and they start murmuring. And hey, that's that carpenter son. And then Joseph, we know him. We know him. How's he speaking with so much power? And instead of going, wow, he must be sent from God, they said, nope. He's a chair maker. He's a table repair guy. And Jesus could not do any mighty works there. Why? Because familiarity produced dishonor. Dishonor produced unbelief. And unbelief limited what the people actually received and experienced. And that's the same pattern in all of our lives. Familiarity can cause us to dishonor what we once treasured. Marriage, parents, co-workers, bosses, people around us. You can treasure them, but then through a series of things, you can actually discount where they fit into your life. You can go from being happy, happy, happy to being offended, offended, offended in an instant if you're not careful. And the moment that happens, there's a breach. There's a wall that keeps you from actually receiving all that God has for you. That's why forgiveness is talked about so much. Familiarity can cause us to dishonor what we once treasured. This is important to remember in all human relationships. Pastor Chris said something to me a few weeks ago, and when he was actually a week and a half ago, when he was on the trip to Honduras, we were talking in the evening one night, and he said he was sharing what he had shared with somebody else. And I'd never heard this before. I said, I'm going to steal that. That's a great thought. He said, not everybody in your life, listen, people come into your life, some people belong in the front yard of your life. Some people you can invite to the front porch. Some people you could even invite into the living room. And some people you could even invite to the kitchen. Now, the bedroom's reserved for one, your spouse. But the reality is, in your life, there people fit in these things. And the problem is, when we don't have discernment, we look at the wrong stuff. And we allow people, and this is how we get offended and get hurt, because we allow people that are supposed to be on the front yard into the kitchen. And not everybody's supposed to be in the kitchen. You can't trust everybody in the kitchen. There's knives in the kitchen. There's hot things. There's frying pans. You got to be careful. Not everybody fits. So you've got to categorize. You got in your spirit, you've got to be discerning about where people fit in your life. But to give honor where honor is due, right? So what exactly is honor? The Greek word for honor in the New Testament, where it says give honor where honor is due, is the Greek word, it looks like time, but it's actually timi. It's pronounced timi. And it means a valuing or valuation. Something valuable, precious, or weighty, such as gold, silver, or diamonds. Honor. You place a value on it. What kind of value do you have on the presence of God? What kind of value do you place on the Word? What kind of value do you place on it? Is it just something you throw around, or you leave it on a shelf? Bring it out when the company comes over, when pastor comes over to say hi, and bring it out to make yourself look good? No, that's not honor. Honor is because it's about valuables, it's you know, when you have something expensive, something valuable, we have gemstones, we have gold, silver, or diamonds, you place them, you put them in a certain place of honor. If you go to Kay Jewelers here in the mall and you buy some jewelry. A year and a half ago, I'll just tell the story, but a year and a half ago, my wife and I had our 45th wedding anniversary, and I felt like the Lord said she needed an upgrade. Because we'd only upgraded twice, and the first ring was barely a ring. Anyway, so I took her to Kay Jewelers. I actually picked out two diamonds for her to look at, and she didn't like either one of them, which is why you always take them for the final thing. So I took my wife. She looked at it. Now, I swear, I don't know if anybody's ever been in the jewelry business, but there's like magic lighting or something. You know, jewelry business, they must have like, it's like, bam. And that thing just, wow, just fires up. And so we got our new ring for the first time in many, many years. And I'm more blessed with it than she is. I was more excited to give it. She was excited to receive it, weren't you? You like it? She said, of course. But I was more excited to give it than she was to receive it. Now, when they gave it to us, you know what they did? First of all, they didn't just throw it in a plastic bag. They brought out this really cool velvet box. Opened it, set that thing in there. They cleaned it, set it in just right. Then they put it under that light. It's like magic. That thing it looked like we could land a small helicopter on it at the time. That's what I was hoping for. It's just a ring. But the point is, you know, when she got home, even when she takes it off, when she gets home, she didn't throw that thing in the junk drawer. She doesn't put it close to a sink or you'll be sunk. She has a special place for it. Why? Because it's valuable. When you give honor to something or someone, there's a special place for them. Honor is about value. Honor recognizes value. Honor is not about manipulation. It's not flattery. Flattery is insincere words of praise designed to get what you want. It's insincere. It's not real. Honor is real because honor is consistent with what you have in the back of your head, what you have in your heart, and what's coming out of your mouth. and your actions. That's honor. It's not honor until it's all lined up in that way. Are you getting this? Biblically, honor is seeing others the way God sees them. Every person has human worth. Every person has human value, a measure of redemptive purpose. God loves people. It doesn't mean we switch off our spiritual discernment. Let me say it this way. Empathy is not stupidity. Okay? You don't switch off your radar. Now, most women have great radar. Some men do. Sometimes in the family, it's the man has more mercy. Mercy-motivated people tend to not have as much discernment. I'll just be honest. That's why you need other people that see the blind spots of your life. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Are you getting this yet? Because this is really important. If you get this, there's going to shift some things in your life and in your home. The reality is, like I said, you got to know who fits on the in the front lawn and who's qualified to be on the porch. Not everybody needs to get that close to you. Jesus had an inner circle. Jesus had Peter, James, and John, but then he had the other 9 of the 12, and then he had 70 others, and he actually had 120 that showed up in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Jesus had, he loved everybody, but he knew where people fit, and you and I need to know where people fit. And we only get into trouble sometimes where we get offended if we have the wrong people fit into the wrong place. Or we invite them into a place that they weren't supposed to be. That God didn't give you a green light. God gave you a yellow light or a red light. And you chose green. And you brought them too close. Honor recognizes value. Honor is about treating people according to the value God has placed upon them, especially in a certain position. In his book from 2007, Honor's Reward, author John Bevere says, one of the things we've forgotten as a nation, now this is 2007, he said, one of the things we've forgotten as a nation is that there's a difference between honoring someone and agreeing with everything they say or do. Quote, you can disagree with someone and still honor them. My gosh, do we need to hear that again? Amen. Honor respects authority. It simply does. Someone's position or office for their office sake. This week, this Friday night, when you ladies are gathering, if you get your today's your last day, ladies, you need to come get your tickets today. On Friday night, it's 9/11. It's the 25th anniversary since the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center, a day that changed the world. If you were not around then, you need to ask your family members, because here's what I pledge. And I pledge back then, I say it again. We will not forget. We will never forget. We forgive, but we will never forget. We'll never switch off our discernment on this one. We got to remember, this was an attack against our whole society, our whole way of life, upon our economics, upon everything. This was an attack on society. But one of the things I remember positively that came out of it was that, you know, every few years there's always this loud, small vocal group that wants to hate on the police and the first responders and such. It happens all the time. It comes in waves. At that time, we'd been through a whole bunch of stuff like that in the 90s, and suddenly here we are in 9/11. And I remember thinking, when we saw the price that police officers paid running into those buildings, firefighters paid running into those buildings, many of them never coming out. Society, we placed a different value upon those folks. Now, it didn't last long. You know, for 3 weeks, we had churches all over the country, even nominal Christian churches, filled up all across the country, but it only lasted 3 Sundays. And then we went back to normal. And normal ain't good. We forget. We forget the truths of God's word. Honor respects authority. We've got to, you know, then we, out of that, we had the military rise up. We had to, and suddenly there was respect. I remember that God dealt with my wife and I. And From that on, it gave birth to something that we called Love Week. And around Valentine's Day, every year for many years, for like two decades or more, we used to go and we would take fresh baked goods and the ladies of our church would put them together and we would send them all around to first responders, firehouses, sheriff's substation, eventually got to be hospitals, nurses, doctors, teachers. It got to be so big that, and then other people started doing similar things, and we just kind of said, okay, that was a season. But it was a big deal. Why? Because when you give honor, you put into motion something that begins to ripple through society. You begin to affect and impact people around you in great ways. John Bevere brings up, you can correct someone and still honor them. It's even possible, watch this, to have been hurt by someone and still refuse to dishonor them. Wow. When it comes to people in authority, our culture tends to evaluate people according to whether or not we think they deserve respect. Well, God says, everybody deserves respect. Based on some subjective public opinion poll that nobody knows, it's out in the Ethernet somewhere. No, we don't like those people now. As a society, we don't like those people now. Big whoop. This is not based on emotion. This is based on the unchangeable Word of God. To place simple value upon the people that God values. I was always taught a badge still means we give respect. And I pray for our first responders. We have a lot of first responders and firefighters and police officers in our church. And I just say, I honor you today because I could not do what you do. If I saw once in my life what you see on a weekly or monthly or daily basis, I'd be folded up in a corner somewhere in the fetal position, sucking my thumb. You have a grace that I don't have. But therefore, I honor you. I respect what you do. And we prefer you. Honor is connected to appreciation. Appreciation, the word appreciation means to increase something in value. Look, if you own your home and it appreciates, what does it do? It goes up in value, gives you more equity, right? When you honor someone, you actually release more equity in that person than they actually can see sometimes in themselves. Honor is connected to appreciation. Too many people in our world struggle with self-image, identity, and self-worth. But we're supposed to honor God and then honor the people that God loves. Honor the people in a way. Not to invite them to the kitchen, but to know, just to give them simple honor. What about honoring the unborn? When we think away, God thinks we, it changes everything. Honor releases gifts and abilities in people they often don't even see in themselves. Potential is often unrealized because it's unrecognized. A lot of people have such a poor image of themselves. It takes a boss or a pastor, a teacher, a leader, a parent to look at that person and say, you know, I see value in you. I see something in you, and to call out that honorable aspect and release something in greater measure and causes appreciation. The appreciation causes appreciation. The value creates more value. Are you getting this today? I know it's foundational. We're going to go somewhere this month. You're going to love it. It's going to be really, really important. Honor isn't fully manifested until it's expressed through words and actions. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, or the corresponding action, if it's not vocalized or verbalized, it's not honor. I've had people tell me, "Well, you don't understand. I'm not gonna praise somebody for doing their job." Really? What about doing it well? What about the good aspects of what they provide? Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs it. People are lacking that. We need to be the ones out there encouraging people. Life gets hard. And people are doing the best that they can. If it doesn't come out of your mouth, it's not honor. Like we said about a few weeks ago about praise and worship. If you don't express it, it's not worship. Now, I realize you may have some questions after today because I'm just kind of giving you the scattergun of overview. And I hope you do have questions. But over the next few weeks, if you'll give us these next few weeks, we'll be talking about building a culture of honor in your family, in the home, on the job, in the community, in the church. Some of you may be asking, what about blended families? What about broken homes, divided families, and abusive situations? I'm glad you thought that. I'm glad you asked. We will look at that through the lens of the Bible and see what God says about that even next week. Because I realize some of you had, you had a crappy upbringing. Some of you still carry anger, and angry people have trouble giving honor to anyone. That's why the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man unless you learn his ways and become like him. Anger is contagious. I submit to you, some of you are angry today over something that somebody else got offended about, and it wasn't even your anger in the first place. But you took it on by osmosis. You absorbed it, and now you're mad at people, and they're not even mad at each other anymore. That's the weird part of it. We keep stuff in our hearts, in the back of our minds, and it's just nonsense. Angry people have trouble giving honor or expressing that. And I want to tell you, God wants to set you free from anger today before we close. We're going to close in just a minute. I'm going to pray for you because I realize some of you either had abusive families, alcoholic or drug addicted parents, weren't raised in a good situation. Maybe you were adopted. Maybe you were orphaned. Maybe you were abandoned. Maybe you were rejected. I don't know, but I know this. Our God solves all that by his love, by his power, by his presence, but you have to be able to receive him. To his men who received him, he gave the power to become his sons and daughters. And if you're still blaming some jerk just because they sired you biologically, and you're still angry in your heart, it's going to affect your relationship with God. And it's going to affect your relationship with authority. And it's going to affect your relationship with the people that you actually love the most. God wants to heal you today. But he has to set you free first. Are you here? Honor carries great rewards. We say honor up, honor down, honor all around. If we as the people, here's my takeaway. If we as the people of God can help restore the biblical principle of honor back into our lives, perhaps we can see a return to civility back in the public arena as well. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? True honor with God begins by just giving him your heart. Trusting him with your heart. Not projecting on God the Father what your father or mother did or didn't do. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Your parents, my parents, did the best they could with what they had, where they were at that time. it might have been scary or awful, or but your parents, the reason you need to forgive them and honor their office or position as your parents, and I'll talk more about next week, but the reason you need to do that is for your benefit, not their benefit. Give God your heart today. All over this place and watching right now online, if you're here today, I got a question for you. Who are you mad at? Who are you still holding a grudge against? Who are you still so ticked off with that if their name comes up in a conversation with somebody else that knows them also, you have to suddenly jump in with what they did or rehearsing how bad they were or something? My God, it's time to release. It's time to let that go. If you're here today and you're hurting, you're broken, I understand that, but God doesn't want to leave you that way. He wants to meet you that way, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. If you're here today and you've got anger issues, just keep your eyes closed real tight, because I don't want anybody to look. This is not a show. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, this hits me. I have some hidden things in my life that I recognize are rooted in anger, resentment, bitterness of some kind. Would you just slip your hand up just till, and then you can lift your eyes and make sure we make eye contact, and then you can put your hand down again. But if that's you, put your hand up and you can put it right back down after I see you. Just look at me. Just, I see you. Make sure we know. I just want to see who I'm praying for right here. God bless you guys. Yeah. See, a lot of people just carry that stuff, and it's so debilitating. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah. I see all of you. That's a lot of people. I see you back there. Father, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised in their homes or wherever they're watching and in this room. And in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that demonic spirit of anger, that assignment of hell that has tried to fester and intoxicate them with bitterness of soul. In the name of Jesus, we come against that assignment of hell. We break its power by the word of God. It is written, no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue rising against them in judgment. I condemn it. We condemn it as a body, as their people, as the spiritual house of God. In Jesus' name, not in our name, but in Jesus' name, we declare freedom over you today. In Jesus' name. Everybody say this out loud. Everybody in the room, say, Jesus, I forgive and release everyone who wronged me, hurt me, every offense that I've taken up on someone else's behalf. Lord, I honor you with my heart and life. And I ask you now to help me to see the truth, to know that truth, and that truth to set me free. In Jesus' name. I realize by forgiving those who have hurt me or abused me, I am not condoning what they did. I'm simply acknowledging that my heart will no longer be bound to the past, but I want to move forward in your love, God, in your presence, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you meant that, you need to celebrate that today. We're going to go some good places this month. Don't miss even one Sunday, because we're going to do some important work this month, okay? God bless you.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.